The lark and the loon are the state birds of Minnesota and Montana, respectively. The musical duo The Lark and the Loon hails from those states. Jeff Rolfson is from Minnesota, Minneapolis, and his wife, Rocky Steen Rolfson, was born in Montana. They live in the Ozarks now, and both past and current homes are big inspirations for their music. Their forthcoming CD, Homestead Hands, is about the people of the West. This month, they return to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play for us, talk about that new album, and discuss their mutual admiration for where each grew up.
When she first brought me to the Black Hills, must have been right after we got married, so it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I was awestruck because I knew it was in the middle of nowhere, like they like to say, like, you're in the middle of nowhere. And I had sort of known what that phrase meant, but until you drive for 10 hours and there's nothing for 10 hours, and then you get to, like, a small community of people and there's not a lot of people around, like, that is the middle of nowhere. And it's amazing out there. I love that feeling.
It's not weird to drive a long distance out there to get to where you need to be. Mm-hmm. People are used to just going to Billings for the weekend, just taking a little 4, 5, 6 hour journey out west to do some shopping and whatnot.
Have the two of you ever discussed how those completely different sort of environments may or perhaps not affected songwriting or musicianship or anything?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think the irony is rock growing up kind of out in a smaller population and like a more rural population had this huge pull towards urban America. And she'll tell me stories all the time about how she wanted to live in New York and wanted to be in the city and wanted to have this very, you know, cosmopolitan life. And then me growing up in the city and having farm roots that were at least one or two generations behind me, I took more of an interest in getting, you know, walking around barefoot, getting my feet dirty and learning how to, like, grow plants and really wanted to, like, interact with farm animals and stuff. And so we sort of, like, met, I think, in the middle, but we also both had a pull towards the other person's upbringing. I don't know if that...
I think that's pretty accurate. I grew up around a lot of country stations, a lot of country western music, which is different from just country music. But I always dreamt of living in Manhattan or Los Angeles, which pulled me to learn more theater, musical theater, jazz, everything that wasn't, that didn't feel country at the time. Although revisiting country western music and all that, I do see elements that are very similar to like blues and jazz. I feel like a lot of genres interweave the different elements of music throughout the ages. I think you can agree with that, Jeff.
Yeah.
You grew up on the Mississippi River, so you got a lot of
We had that New Orleans connection and like the Dixieland
music up there
kind of thing. And what interested me is you drive, you know, from Minneapolis, St. Paul, you're right on the river. New Orleans is straight down the river, and that Delta blues came right up to us and influenced our music a lot. And then you drive 10 hours east, you can go to Chicago, and you've got Chicago blues, which is very Delta influenced as well. But then you drive 10 hours west, and you end up where Rock grew up, like in the Black Hills, and it's a completely different style of life, a different style of music, and a completely different culture in a lot of ways, and similar in others, but like your influences have completely shifted in just that short drive.
And I think as far as frontier music, 19th century cowboy western music, which this album is deeply rooted in, a lot of the music came from everything and all the people that moved up there after the Homestead Act of 1862, which is when you got a big influx of people from many different cultures who could own land for the first time. If you don't know what the Homestead Act is, it's where you could put in a claim for land for 160 acres for a very small fee, and as long as you would work the land and maintain it, produce something on it, I'm not quite sure what all the stipulations were, it would become yours. And so that's how a lot of people were able to obtain property out there. And just doing research on that, we learned about a lot of different cultures who were in on that. I think it's important to say that the Civil War ended in 1865. So this allowed freed slaves to go up there,
So is that some of what's going on in Homestead Hands? Some of that merging and melding? And
it is. It's merging and melding. I have a very long ancestral history out on the Great Plains of cattle farmers, ranchers, and cowboys who went out there in the mid-1800s. Some of them on covered wagons. Some of them came out through Ellis Island later to get in on that, cash in on that Homestead Act. And many of them are still out there today farming and ranching. On the same land. I think it's all been kind of bought and sold and shuffled around a bit out there.
Wasn't the way it worked?
They're all in the same area that their ancestors farmed.
You could just keep expanding your tract, I think, right? Like, you could do 160 acres, the next year do another 160 acres, then you can get, like, thousands of acres if you
move
really
around
bad.
A bit out there. But the population is pretty small. I think a lot of families have been out there for quite a while. My grandfather farms winter wheat in eastern Montana.
A lot of the, especially the first, I want to say, half of the record, like the A side of it, the first like probably six tracks, really delve into that history. And a lot of it came from Rock telling me about her family and how they've been out there for generations. And the old folky story, you know, what do you do at night? You sit around fire and you sew or whatever and you
play music.
Yeah, that's the only way to entertain yourself.
Some people do not, like, not everyone does. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard my grandpa, like my dad's father, sing, and no. But his mother was very musical, and my great-grandmother sang a lot. And her granddaughters even had a singing group, and they were all ranchers. But they still connect. They ranched, and then they sang. So I actually come from a pretty long lineage of female singers, which is where I get a lot of my inner ear for harmony work, I think, is where that comes from.
A full disclosure here, I have not heard the record before our conversation, but give my regards to Mr. Hickok. Mm-hmm. I mean, the legendary.
Yes, that's an interesting piece that we wrote. So I did mention I grew up in Montana, and then went after my kindergarten year, I actually moved to the Black Hills of South Dakota and lived in Spearfish. And that's where I went to, you know, finished elementary school, went to junior high and high school there, and got to learn about the culture of the Black Hills, and actually found out that I have ancestry in the hills as well. I actually have a relative buried in Mount Moriah Cemetery in Deadwood next to Wild Bill Hickok.
No.
And Calamity Jane, yeah. His name's John Defebaugh. You can fact check that.
We're going to visit him when
comes from there. The ranching side of the family I was talking about earlier. And I think maybe I have a few other relatives, but I remember my dad taking me there when I must have been like nine or 10, maybe a little bit older. And, you know, we went to this historic cemetery. He was like, this is Wild Bill. This is Calamity Jane. This is your, great-great-great-grandfather. And it just didn't mean anything to me at the time. I was like, yeah, so?
What put him in the ground? I mean, Calamity Jane and Wild Bill Hickok had spectacular demises.
He was killed in some violence while herding cattle to the miners up in Deadwood. And they took his body up there and then notified his wife. And I think she moved back to Texas. So
It says on his tombstone, it says John Defebaugh. And it's a little archaic language, I think, but it says killed by Indians, if I remember correctly. And I think the Deadwood Pioneer ran an article. And we found out at one point it's basically he was herding cattle and was shot in the back with an arrow and just died instantly.
And to that I have to say, I mean, I am a very liberal person. I left the Great Plains for boarding school when I was 16, went to performing arts school, and I started learning, you know, show tunes and studying more jazz and blues and trying to get very far away from the country roots that I had grown up around. And I have to say, I mean, they were there first, and I would be pissed off, too. So I can no way, you know, defend that. I mean, he was doing his work. It was...
Sure.
But it wasn't... And I, I, it's, it, I feel bad bringing this up right here because first I have to say we watch a lot of Westerns growing up where it's like cowboys and Indians and everyone's always just attacking one another. But it wasn't just that. There was a lot of trading of cultures. There was a lot of learning from the natives. Obviously, they were there first, and in order to survive, you had to immerse yourself with what was already there.
All right, well, let's hear some music.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, shall we? Ready?
Out in the west, they don't take their rest till the whip and the saddle are worn. Find me some shade and I'll daydream away of the crowd in a friendly saloon. They've got many names for what I've been feeling. Some call it Dust Bowl Blues, some cabin fever. But all the fresh air in Wyoming can't cure me. I wanna hear the sound of that old parlor. It's out of tune, but I can still find my pitch just enough to raise a glass to some old cowboy's dreams. These homestead hands were born and bred for working, but singing's all I really want to do. Prairie dogs don't seem to care for balance, and my horse ain't one for dancing shoes. You can't sing duets with the fire in its smoke, but at least I've got these cows to yodel to.
Oh, the lady. left a single drop. So we packed up the farm and left for the city where I've spent my days, working at a mill by the mighty Mississippi. Only memories remain about living out on the open range, and with them I shall cradle train from St. Paul, cut round the Badlands and north of the hills to the place where I come from. The general store was boarded up and the schoolhouse was a museum, and the trail to my old prairie farm was blocked up by a no trespassing sign, and all the memories remain about living.
Wonderful. Great. We've got just a few minutes left. One more? Yeah. The Ozark Mountain Home?
A little Ozark shout-out to pick through.
All right, now Jeff's changing instruments.
He just needs to grab a harmonica.
Ah.
He just has to add a little one to the mix here. Well, we're just so happy that we live down in the Ozarks that it just felt wrong not to write a good song about how much we've appreciated the community down here and being able to base ourselves out of a beautiful place that's central to most places we need to tour out of. So this is our little...
Excellent. Well, we're happy to have you, to claim you now.
Well, thank you.
Sunrise over the hill, the days are getting long. Flash of crimson in that red bud tree, and the grass is turning green. On a hill, a place to call our own, a little Ozark Mountain home.
Nocturnal orchestra in starlight, in a cage made of fireflies. Moth lands on a window pane, and in the dawn light it flies away. On a hill, a place to call our own, a little Ozark Mountain home. Wanted to, we could live anywhere else. Take all the memories and place them all on a shelf. But it's been good to me,
and it's been good to you. A part swing
sweetly
made just for two. A carousel of dragonflies and passion fruit vines. A hushed shade of cedar trees swaying in line. A symphony of sunlight and a place to pass the time. On a hill, a place to call our own. And little Ozark mountain home. And it's been good to me, a little Ozark mountain home. And it's been good to you, a little Ozark mountain home.
Rocky Scene Ralston and Jeff Ralston are the Lark and the Loon. Their new CD is out early next month. It's titled Homestead Hands. They live here, but currently they're touring the West. You can learn more at thelarkandtheloon.com.